they hope the worst don't happen, but I'm thankful we have more than that. We really do. We have what the world needs. I hear people saying, you know, oh, imagine what it would be like if everybody did what they're supposed to, if nobody, no suffering, no pain, all these things. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what we have as Christians. That's what motivates our life. What they desire to happen is often what they fight against. You know, our day and time has so much religion, so little true Christianity. It really is the truth. There's so much religion and so little true Christianity. God help us to be true Christians, to be right representatives of what His Word teaches us to be. Amen? We've got a message the world needs to hear. We've got a message that the church world needs to hear. And I know sometimes if you're a minority, which we are in this society today, Bible-believing Christians are a minority. If you're a minority, it can make you want to be quiet, or it has that effect on me because I don't like to be different. I don't like to stand out. I don't like to be obtuse. I may be sometimes, but I don't like it. I mean, that's... So sometimes the contempt is just to be quiet. But we have what the world needs to hear. Amen? Amen. If you want to turn, I'm going to just take one verse out of Ephesians tonight and bring a few thoughts. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 18th verse, where we're going. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your help so far this week. As Brother Ron said, you've given us everything we need to this very hour. You've supplied every need. You've been sufficient for us. With that confidence that we face the future, those things that lie yet unseen ahead, we're facing the confidence in one who has never failed. Now help us as we look into your word. Quicken our minds together that we might receive help from you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I thought, boy, I tell you what, when I look down, I keep a written list of the prayer requests and I add to it week by week. And as I look down that list, I thought, my goodness, what a bunch of requests. You know, when you read through them, for a small group of people, there's a lot of needs on people that surround us, our families, our friends, ones we're associated with, all kinds of needs. There's physical needs, financial needs, spiritual needs. But the good news is we serve a God who is alive, who is a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God. That's what we need not forget. We serve a God who hears and answers prayer. We need to let the needs that we see around us send us to the throne of grace rather than drive us to discouragement and despair. We got a choice. When everything seems to be piling up, when everything seems to be coming in, we really got a choice. We can despair. We can get discouraged, or it can cause us to seek and find the help we need at God's throne. I want to challenge our verses tonight. I want to talk to us about being an intercessor. The verse is Ephesians 6 and 18 for our text this evening. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This talks about praying always and in the Spirit, but it has a specific reference to praying for all the saints. Intercessory prayer is what I want to talk about. An intercessory prayer is prayers that we pray for someone else. You know, when I go to prayer, I do pray for myself. Now, I pray for myself every day because I know what my real needs are, or at least I think I do. I know spiritual needs I have. I know when I'm discouraged. I know when I'm weak. I know when I need help. And I ask God for that. I ask for the financial needs. I ask for the physical needs. But also, we are responsible to pray for one another. You know, we're in a battle. And it takes many forms. So you battle sometimes physically. I thought as a Sister Grace. When Sister Grace is in a physical battle, I can guarantee you she's also in a spiritual battle. If you have been sick or down physically for very long, you know it affects your spiritual energy. It affects your spiritual many times in being able to effectively pray for yourself. If we're in financial need or in spiritual need or whatever other need we have, relationship needs. God is able to help, and we are to help one another. In this verse tonight, we're instructed to pray for one another. Another translation renders that verse, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Praying for one another is part of our duty. You know we have a duty to one another. God didn't save us it ain't just us and God. We have a duty to one another. We're called together collectively to be the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that as we come up here on the weekend for our communion service. We're called collectively. We have a responsibility one to another to help each other. Love demands that we pray for one another. You can't really know your brother or sister is in need of anything and not have a responsibility to beseech God on their behalf. Do you know that? Not if you love them. If you really love somebody and you know they need help and you know where the source of help is, if love demands that you help, right? You know, if you have the ability to help, well, sometimes we don't have the ability to help financially or even help a physical condition. But as Christians, we know who does help. We know who can help, right? And we have love demands that we pray for one another. Not only does love demand that we pray for one another, praying for one another helps keep our own troubles in perspectives. Everybody here has problems. One way or another, or you have loved ones, or we have problems, right? Every one of us have our own burdens to bear. Satan wants to keep you focused on yourself. Satan wants to keep me focused on myself. I heard a very good definition. One of the kids, I think Val this week, gave me a definition of humility. Humility is not thinking little of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself little. There's a difference. It's not having just low self-esteem, but it's having a life that's not focused on yourself. People can have low self-esteem and still be full of themselves. And Satan in our troubles, what's the first response we have in trouble? Poor me, woe is me, I'm concerned about me, right? I mean, I don't care what trouble it is. That's the initial response that most of us have is, woe is me. Praying for others, though, helps us keep that in perspective. Yeah, well, I have problems. But people around me have problems, and a lot of them have a lot bigger problems than I got. Do you know that? When I start looking around, when I start hearing other people's needs, I realize other people are suffering too, and a lot of them are suffering a lot more than I am. In fact, a lot of times, instead of getting woe me, when I start thinking about other people's needs, it helps me start to be thankful for what God's given me. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, instead of getting down, I start thinking, you know, God's been awful good to me. The problems I have are not too big compared to what some others have to deal with. Praying for one another is important because sometimes others can't effectively pray for themselves, even saints of God. Do you know, you can get your mind, I can get my mind in a fog wrestling with problems sometimes to where I don't have enough spiritual energy and clarity of thought to pray effectively for myself or to pray in faith for myself. Now, that ain't all the time. But it happens, sometimes physically, sometimes in other problems. We can't effectively pray for ourselves, and we need one another to bear us up before the throne. Another sideline of praying for one another is that praying for one another helps us grow deeper in love for one another. You know, as a congregation, strong congregations have a deep love for one another. All congregations have room to grow in their depth of love for one another. You cannot honestly take on somebody else's burden and bear it before the throne without your heart becoming entwined to some extent with them. I mean, the problem becomes yours to a certain extent when you really labor in prayer. And just laboring with your brother and sister, bearing them up in prayer, is one of the best routes to deepening love for one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Oh, come on, somebody knows that. What's the law of Christ? love one another, right? Throughout the New Testament, the law of Christ is to love one another. Well, how do we obey that commandment? Well, in this verse it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's by bearing one another's burdens, and part of that is praying for one another. Paul prayed for fellow believers. You know that? Philippians 1:3 said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. In Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul prayed, these ones that he had visited, the congregation, some there long, some short, but he prayed for them. But Paul also asked his fellow believers to pray for him. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honest. Both, it goes both ways. Amen? Sometimes we look at Paul strong, yet he needed people praying for him. But Paul, on the other hand, didn't just preach. He entered into prayer for those to whom he preached. Only those who truly know God have the privilege of bringing their request to God. Do you know that? Somebody who don't know him can cry out in a plea of desperation. They can cry out in a plea of forgiveness. But I'm talking about having the privilege of daily taking all of our concerns to him. Only those that really know God have that privilege. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And that's a theme that's carried from the Old Testament through the New. And I bring that out because not everybody can pray for the needs around us. Not everybody has access to the throne of God. Only those of God's children who really know him have access to the throne of God. You know, you can pray for those who don't know God for any need they may have. Right? Our unsaved loved ones, neighbors, we can pray for them for any need they may have. Listen, your prayer opens a way for God to do what he could not otherwise do. Listen to me. If somebody's in rebellion against God and somebody is not going God's way, God in justice has said that he blesses the righteous and curses the wicked, right? I mean, to a large extent, that is how he responds. God cannot righteously solve every problem for the unbeliever in the same way he does for the believer. But your prayer, God can respond to your prayer on their behalf. It opens a way for God to be able, because God's honoring your prayer, honoring your faith, honoring your love to him. God can answer someone who doesn't know him. He can answer on their behalf in answer to your prayers. Did I make that plain? Because that really stood out to me. Protection for those that don't know God. Help for those that don't know God. Your prayer, my prayer, can be effective for those who don't know God. Nationally, in a community, one stand in the gap on behalf of their people who don't know God. The same thing applies individually. We have the privilege of praying for people who cannot have access to the throne of God. Your prayer, listen, your prayer may be your lost loved one's only protection from destruction. God's hand of judgment may be stayed in response to your prayer. The only thing standing between them and destruction may be the prayers that you send up on their behalf. You know, we can pray, as I said, for any need the lost may have. But when we begin to think about it, there's people with needs all around us. But the primary need that those that don't know God have is their spiritual needs. We can pray for all their needs. And I do. I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters, as well as every one of Julie's brothers and sisters. I mean, our regular family every day. And a lot of them don't know the Lord. And if I know they're in tough situations, I pray God help them financially. I pray God help them with their health. But most of all, I pray God open their eyes. There's ones that have been here in the services, and I pray for different needs. But most of all, I pray God open their eyes to their condition. Help them to get in right relationship with you. You know why? Because that's the real need. That's what's really important. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." I believe we have a part to play in people coming to know the Lord. I believe our prayers on their behalf helps God be able to work with their souls by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts men of their sinful condition. The truth of salvation. And we're to be co-laborers with God in that. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we're co-laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. I believe that's one of the responsibilities we have to the lost around us. You know, we can get concern for our loved ones or unsaved friends for a whole lot of reasons. And there's, as I said, nothing wrong with that. If there's a serious ailment or illness, if there's something going on, we ought to pray for them. But we ought never lose sight of the real need of their heart. Amen? There's a judgment coming. We ought to be awakened to the needs, the real need of people around us. We have an obligation to the lost. Paul said, he said, "I'm a debtor to both Greeks and barbarian, both the wise and the unwise. As much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We have an obligation. What we've received puts on us an obligation to tell others about it. You know, if you had a terminal disease, and you discovered a cure for that someplace, and you know somebody else that had a terminal disease, you would have a moral obligation to tell them about the cure, wouldn't you? You couldn't just stand and watch them die, right? Well, in the same way, the curse of sin and the eternity that waits those lost and away from God's worse than any terminal illness. And if we've really found the cure for that, we found health and healing, we have a moral obligation as we have opportunity to tell those around us. I've been encouraged to pray. Some of these, I don't say it, but Aaron and Lily and the kids, Jonathan and Livia, and what's the other boy's name? Andrew, yes, right? I pray for them, even though they ain't been here for how long, I pray for them every day. I still, in fact, in the last month, I've had a real burden for Aaron's kids. And to be honest with you, I prayed more for the kids than I did Aaron. But I prayed for them. God, I don't know where they're at, but protect them. You know what dangers are in. You know what life's like. Protect them. And I do the same for many others that aren't here as well. In fact, everybody that's been here for any length of time, I pray for them by name every day, kids included. You know why? I believe we have an obligation. Some of them are in great peril, great risk. And I believe I hold on to God. Hey, awaken them. Turn them, speak to them, bring them to their senses. You know, even if they're not here, somewhere, get them in a place where they can find help. Get them in a place where they can get themselves where they ought to be. Amen? We have an obligation to one another and to those around us to pray. And I said that because I know every one of you have plenty of burdens. I do too. Don't get so burdened down with your own burdens that we forget to carry the burdens for one another. You know, if we do this regularly, all of us aren't down at the same time. If we make it a regular practice, anytime anybody's down, somebody's praying for them. So, in fact, should be several. All the time praying. God wants to help. I am convinced that part of the trials we have been in, part of it, and it's not all of it, part of it has been to be emptied of ourselves and come to rely on God in a greater way. Emptied of our self-sufficiency so that we can rely on God in a greater way. God wants to help. I jotted down, I don't know. I'm going to go through part of this. We need encouraged to have our faith encouraged. We need to have our faith encouraged to pray. God wants us to pray and ask in confidence. If all we're doing is repeating words, praying for one another, praying for the lost is just so much religious exercise. You know that? But what makes it real is there's a real prayer hearing and prayer answering God. There's a God that's real, that wants to interact, that wants to answer prayer. He said, ask anything. Jesus encourages us to ask freely and with confidence. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's saying, I preached on this, I don't know, some weeks ago, where it says, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. I don't think our faith can take that in at all. He's saying that what you've seen Jesus Christ doing when he was here, in answer to prayer, through prayer, we can not only see what Christ did, but greater than he did. Is that not what it's saying? Well, I challenge you to read that. It is what he's saying. Matthew 7:7, ask, it'll be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it'll be open. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, he'll give him a stone? Or ask a fish, he'll give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Almost every time I read that or hear it read, instantly my mind starts throwing up all these conditions and all these, well, not really, trying to take the impact of that. But the truth is, Jesus spoke these words because he wanted us to know the surety of having prayer answered. 1 John 5:14, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, you know enough to know it's not like a magic genie where you say the right words and rub the jug and you get anything you ask for, right? Or rub the lamp or whatever. It's not that. But it is real communion with God, that we have a Heavenly Father that genuinely loves us and wants to provide good things for his children. We've been given free access to God's throne. God wants us to know he wants to hear and answer prayer. Jesus Christ opened the way, right? When he died, the veil was rent in the temple. That veil that was there where only the high priest could go in one time a year, right? He was the only one that was allowed in that inner sanctuary. That veil was rent to where every one of God's children now have any time free access to the very throne of God. Well, why do we have free access? Because God wants us there in order to hear and answer prayer. Not only do we have free access, but we have an advocate. Hebrews 4:15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I could read to you back in Isaiah and Daniel where God answered sometimes while they're yet speaking. It's the picture there is of God so anxious to answer prayer, he can't wait for them to even get done. He's just waiting for them to ask so he could give what was needed. Right? Isaiah, he said, it's come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. And so many times, God gives above what we ask. Amen. How many times has my faith been embarrassed where I was praying for something and I was praying about this big and God answered this big? I don't know how many times God's answered things far above what I had faith to ask for. You know why? God wants us to know. He wants to answer prayer. Be an intercessor. Be an intercessor for your brothers and sisters. We all have difficulties and trials. We're not a very big congregation. We all sit the same place every week pretty well. We got one or two that roam occasionally, but pretty well everybody sits the same place. So it makes it real easy to go up and down the rows and pray for one another, right? Makes it real easy. And when I come, as I said, I come to Brother Ron and Sister Grace. I'm reminded to pray for Sarah and Tom and Christy and the boys. When we come to Brother Jeff's row, I'm reminded to pray for Sarah and the kids. And Brother Aaron and or Lily and their kids, reminded to pray for them. When I come to Brother Ken and Sister Kathy's row, I remember Larry and Cherry and Troy and Candy and Brian and Brad and Michelle and all of them, every day, that we can bear them up in prayer, that we can hold on to God. Same with each one of you. We go up and down, and then empty rows where people should be. I remember as we go up and down, pray for them as well, that God would speak to them and God would help them. Amen. You know why? Because I believe God can work in a greater way when we're praying than what he is able to work if we don't pray. Amen? You know what? When someone I'm praying for a while, when they get help, I'm probably not as excited as they are, but I'm almost as excited as they are because it thrills me to see God bring the help I was praying for. I challenge you. Let's be intercessors. Pray for one another. Pray for those that need God. Some of your family, some of your co-workers, some others you know, you may be, your prayers may be the only thing that's keeping Satan from taking them and destroying them the way that he desires to take them and destroy them. Amen? Hold on in prayer. Intercede. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can talk a lot about loving one another, but this is one way we can prove our love for one another is by bearing each other's burdens, and not only prove our love, but deepen our love for one another and those around us.